don't know. I mean, I'm not
sure. Of course you don't know.
Yeah, that's why.
Wait, let me scoot over.
What you scooting over? Oh, you weren't even all the way in.
All right, y'all. Hey, welcome. We're going to get into Midday Talk with the Daniels.
Yeah, how y'all doing?
But before we do, we want to play a little love music. How about that?
Is that all right? Is that going to get you in the mood?
Oh, Lord.
I'm just asking. Because you know you something else.
You something else.
What else am I?
I don't know. Ask
then
yourself.
How you all about you something else?
Ask yourself.
What happened? Oh, that's my song right
Is
there.
Is that your song?
Yeah. Yeah, that's my song.
Baby, you got it. There's only one love in your mind.
Some of y'all need this love in your life.
Well, yeah, we just wanted to come to y'all today in the middle of the day, man. You know, me and my wife have so much fun just being around.
Are y'all dealing with this at home? Are y'all dealing with
this at home? Take your medicine this morning. I'm trying to find out first if it's safe to come in your zone.
This way you put the ground on your love. I tried to grab him, but you won't give it up. Hey,
you are the sun. You are the rain.
Hey,
it makes my life a foolish game. You need to know I love you so.
Hey,
and I do it all again and again.
We want to come to y'all in the middle of the day sometime, man, just to
help
you make it over that midday hump.
Hey,
because there's a little hill in the middle of the day. Sometimes there's a little hill that you need to get over.
Hey, I'm trying to serenade you. You need to know I love you so. You guys can't get no. Let's move on then. Listen. Midday Talk with the Daniels.
Yes, yes, yes. Again, yes. We're here.
I want to talk about today. Keep the fire going. And how you do that is you stop worrying about what other folks think, get in each other's face. And be listen, let me tell y'all, okay, I want to give y'all some homework. When y'all get mad, and my husband did this to me, and I forgot that I had said something about it. He did this to me.
I tell you all the time, put it back on them, fellas.
Because, baby, as fish grease this morning.
Right. She was warm as a little junior tea kettle.
I was listening.
See that sound she just made? That's how a tea kettle sounds.
Listen.
That's what she was like this morning.
Listen.
I put it back in her face, fellas.
Mixed up my spirit, just crumbled it and just flung it, you know, and I was messed up this morning. So I had a little talk with him. It was rough. I was talking rough because I was angry, but I'm glad that I waited a little while to talk to him, because if I would have talked to him right when I was, you know, when the fire started, it would have been different.
Yeah.
So I had to wait a minute and then talk to him about what was going on with me. And then he just came in the room all of a sudden, just hugged. He said, we're going to hug for 2 minutes, which is something I told him. I said, we ought to make couples hug for about 5 minutes. And eventually that whole little icicle just melted.
Right.
And I remember that he handsome and I love him. Right. I was still a little upset in my spirit.
Let me give him another little nugget about it.
Because he brought me a bacon sandwich.
See, he brought me a bacon sandwich, I was done. Right, right, right. I know how to get her, y'all. I went in there, and while she was mad and yet smoldering,
My God.
I knew it, I went in there and slid some bacon in the oven and let it just cook. I don't have to be in there for it to cook in the oven. Let that bacon just... And let me tell you something about my wife that I know. She is a bacon woman.
I'm a baconator.
She loves bacon on anything. She wants bacon on her bacon. So I put a little toast.
Bacon.
And made some bacon and made her a nice little bacon sandwich to eat for breakfast. And bought her a big glass of tea, which is another one of her favorite things to sip on.
A glass of tea.
And I brought her all that and put it in her face. And then after she got the fussing at me, I said, first of all, let's stop. First thing I want to say, she said, what? You always cut me off.
Look what Sam said. What? Those shirts need to be Giants or Jet shirts.
Boy, hush. Move to New York. I pay for your ticket. That's all I got to tell you. If you're a Giants or a Jets fan, move to New York, I pay for the ticket. Just call me up.
As long as you say you're moving.
Okay, if
he's
moving back.
He got it in his spirit.
Yeah, and guess what? He can have it in his body, mind, and soul in New York if he wants to. I pay for it. But anyway, like I said, she was fussing and angry. And first thing I had to say was, hey, first of all, I love you. That kind of throws a little water. It's like throwing some water on the fire.
Which, if you don't let your wife get out everything that she needs to say in an argument, you're going to pay for that later. Just want to throw that
disclaimer. So let her fuss. That's cool.
Don't try this.
Let her fuss. And then I say, hey, in the middle of all this, now you always cut me. I say, first of all, I ain't cutting you off. But yes, I am. But secondly, I love you. And then she kind of calmed down a little bit. And that was my time to slide my little, you know, whoop in. And I said, first of all, I love you. Second of all, I apologize if I hurt your feelings. I may have said, and then I said, no, you know what? If you think I did say it wrong. And I just went on from there and went on with my apology. And left it alone. And next thing you know, we was in the car laughing and joking and driving up here, getting ready to do midday talk with the Daniels. And bam, look at that face right there.
So let's get into today's topic. Today's topic is, how do you keep the fire going? Or how do you get that flame lit again? Because some of y'all are too busy being married to be in love and to date and to really, really be friends with each other. Y'all too busy being married. Listen.
Baby, sometimes you got to flick. I got to flick your bick. You remember the commercial?
Yeah.
Flick your bick. Yeah, I got to flick your bick. And then when I flick your bick, that fire just. Woof.
Okay, so what he's saying is you got to remember why you got together. And I think we mentioned this on one of our last talks. You got to remember.
First of all, they got to find where your bick is.
Baby, get out
there. Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
You got to remember what attracted you to her or him.
Right.
And you got to have romantic dinners. You got to go out on dates. You got to do whatever is necessary to keep the flame going. A lot of folks be like, well, I married you, didn't I?
What they got to do with
it? That's the worst thing to say.
See, you got to.
I think
the thing about it is, baby, that so many people fall short on doing is learning what the other one is really, really interested in. What makes them tick?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Because I take the time to find out what my wife likes, what she don't like, what makes her tick, what's her passions, what's her interests, what she is. You know, I wanna find out her end game when she does things. Why are we doing this? What is your interest and where are we going with this? I want to know that because the best thing I feel that I can do is help her to get there when she's trying to go.
And I think a lot of times
and be encouraging throughout the journey.
Okay.
You know, and go ahead.
All right. And I think sometimes, you know, the reason that you have a hard time finding your way back to each other romantically and emotionally is because of the foundation that you set for your relationship. You know, if the foundation, like starting that relationship out, if y'all wasn't friends and y'all didn't start out caring about each other, because sometimes you get in relationships and you got in that relationship with that person out of infatuation. Or you got with that person off of the way they look, and you can't believe that you with them, and you can't, you know, and so it leaves out important pieces that you need to have a healthy mature relationship.
Right.
Like, right. I have to be his friend, not just his friend. I got to be his homegirl. Not just his homegirl. I got to be his, you know, his girlfriend. You know what I'm saying? Right, all that is three different things. You know what I'm saying?
All that's in one person. It's you try to find all that in one person that you decide you want to create a life with and live with.
Yeah.
Now, I think another thing that hinders folks is that when you get in a relationship with somebody, you have to put all your selfish ways to the side. It's just like dealing with God. Mm-hmm. You know, you know, there is certain sections in the Bible, verses in the Bible, dealing with the selfishness of man. Getting rid of yourself, getting rid of you and everything that, right. that pertains
and
to you.
Like the Bible says, a miracle how the two become one.
Right.
And
but go ahead. I'm sorry.
But if you're not friends, if I don't care for you like I'm supposed to, and I don't
right.
and I'm not my wall is not all the way down, it'll be very difficult to make a relationship be one whole instead of two entities together.
Right. Trying you know, to function and you, separately, but, you know, but together.
But,
together. That's not
but you know, that's how a lot of people today look at relationships. I'm me and he and you are you and we ain't and I got my you know what I'm saying? That kind of thing in the relationship.
Not really and truly even making an effort to melt together and become one entity.
Yeah.
As a husband and wife should be. Like I always tell you, there's two jerseys on this team.
Two.
I wear one, you wear the other. Anybody else don't have the same color jersey on. It may be a different, close to the color, but it ain't the same color.
It ain't the same color.
And when it ultimately comes down to it, the battle is mine and yours to win together.
But if we are and fighting we, each other.
Right, exactly. We're gonna never,
when
we're
they
gonna
say
never
a civil war, kind of what we're going through right now in the United States of America, but I'm not going to go there.
Right.
But another thing is, me getting rid of selfishness is not hard if I love you, if I really truly care about you. But for some people, it's difficult because they haven't really let down the.
Well, I'm going to say it like this. I know where you're going with it because I know you. But the ultimate thing about those relationships like that is the trust entity. You know, we don't want to talk about do I trust. See, I'm going to tell you something about my wife. I trust her with everything I got. There is nothing that I have that she can't see or touch or put her hands on. If it's mine, it's hers. And if it's hers, it's mine. That's how we feel about life. And the reason why we can do that is the trust factor. We trust each other with everything we got. And I remember I talked to you the time about your pastor friend was at our house.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, this is a pastor. And this man was getting ready to marry a woman. Right. They were all in, he said. And my wife walked in the living room and she said, "Hey, baby, I need such and such card." Or something he was doing in the back. Y'all was on the internet or something, getting ready to order something. I don't know what it was. But you said, "I need your card." I gave you my whole wallet.
Uh-huh.
No problem. Put it out my pocket and hand it to you. He said, "All right, here you go." And you walked off. And while you was gone, he looked at me and said, "How long did it take you for that?" And I'm as your boy say, I'm befuddled. I said, "Do what?" He said, "Man, you just gave her your whole wallet." I said, "Okay." I said, "That's my wife. Man, you trust her like that? Why wouldn't I? That's my wife. Did you not hear me say that?"
And
why would I not hand you my wallet if my card is in the wallet and you need the card? Here, take the wallet. I didn't get it. I still don't really get it. But I think it's because of my mindset as opposed to where his mindset was. You know, he's talking about marrying. He said, "Man, I ain't got to that yet." Well, you better, if you're going to marry this woman, you better hurry up and get to that. Or if you don't think you can get to it, then that ain't the woman you need to marry. That was my whole thinking when he said that. I was really, as they said, befuddled. And I mean, I don't understand.
A relationship without trust.
It's not a relationship.
It's a relationship.
It's not a real relationship. You know, healthy. Let's say that.
A healthy one.
Right. Let's say that.
Because a lot of people stay in stuff just so they won't prove other people right that it was not a good relationship,
right.
Which is wrong. Okay. But we're talking about foundation. What is your relationship set up on? Because when the rocky times come, the hard times come, if your relationship is not set up on a firm foundation, right. Like you say, trust, love,
respect, and
a lot of people, you don't view your mate as equal. Don't marry somebody you don't view as equal,
right.
Because it will be you will have a hard time. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Right.
You'll constantly be competing with each other. You'll constantly be misinterpreting things that you say to one another. It'll be horrible. So you want your flame back. First of all, you need to go back and let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to when we met. Let's go back to
all the stuff that you talk about, maybe in a relationship. I like that because of, you know, you being a pastor and us being a service oriented marriage where we are heavily into the church. When you talk about stuff, I always think about it in biblical terms. Like it says, sometimes when you walk in your walk with God, you have to go back to where you first fell in love with Jesus Christ. No, where I first.
Yeah, that's all. Take me back.
Right.
Take me back, dear Lord.
And that's the same way you have to be with your relationship with your earthly spouse.
Right.
Sometimes you have to go back to where you first fell in love and what made you want to be in love with that person and what was your initial attraction, thing that made you adhere and cleave to this person.
I'm like this. I like that little kiddish feeling about each other. That little thing that makes me smile, you know, that gift or that just hug or just to lay my head on his shoulder. You know, sometimes you just gotta step back from the hustle and bustle of life. Go on some vacations or a weekend. Say, honey, you know what? We've been fighting a lot. We need to take this weekend and we need to go off and be by ourselves.
And let me tell you something else that I love to do. That I think that many marriages need to incorporate in their marriages. Serve one another. You know, like I get up in the mornings, I will fix my wife breakfast. I will go in there and clean up the kitchen. I do all this different stuff because I don't want her to, you know, first of all, I like to do things like that. Second of all, she don't. And I know that because my wife does not like to wash dishes, but she married her husband and loves to wash dishes. And I don't have no problem. I want my dishes hand washed. I ain't worried about no dishwasher, none of that. I want the hot water where I got to put the gloves on, where I can barely stand the water and clean my dishes with my hand and scrub them.
Amen.
And put them in the drain board.
Hallelujah.
But that's something that I like to do. But I mean, that is a service to her because she doesn't have to do it because I do. Now, another thing is I will get up in the morning. I love to cook. I love to, you know, just things, cutting up stuff and all that is soothing to my mind. But it's a service to her because she ends up with the end product, such as her bacon sandwiches and all that early in the morning and food and dinner is brought to her. And, you know, but I think we need to get back to understanding our purpose in a relationship with each other. My relationship is to serve her needs. And I trust that through serving her needs, my needs are going to be met because she's going to in turn serve my needs. And a lot of people, as you hear me keep saying the word trust, 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 because that is the only way that a relationship can survive or thrive is through a trusting, symbiotic relationship. And we have so many couples who are in relationships where they ultimately don't trust the person that they're with. And I think that those are relationships that do not service either party that's involved in it. because you're going to be lacking something, and the person that you are in the relationship is going to be lacking something because y'all don't trust each other enough to be all in. And if you're not all in a, especially a marriage type relationship, then that relationship is doomed to fail, period. That's just the way I feel about it. You either all in or you might as well be all the way out, one of the two, because there's no gray area in a marriage. No gray areas when things start filtering in, like side pieces and secret accounts and you know, just all kind of the things that can break a marriage up ultimately. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I say when you start letting gray area in, you're looking for trouble. There's going to be some trouble. You know, and me and my wife love to have a good understanding about the things that we're going to do and the things that we want out of life, that we expect out of each other. I have no problem telling her what I expect. And believe me, she has no damn problem telling me what she expects out of me. And not only does she expect it, she pretty much demands it if I'm going to be her husband. And there's nothing wrong with demanding things of each other, long as you as the opposite is willing to meet the demands of the person that you're giving demands to. You see what I'm saying? So that's where I think a lot of marriages fall short. Do you have any input on that, Ms. Queen of Daniels?
Yeah. My husband long when I had to let him go and get
it. Yeah, y'all gotta get it.
Not on that, but more on how to keep this flame going. How do you stay in love with each other? Now, a lot of the things that people don't like to talk about is the intimacy between one another. Now, I'm gonna say this, be real plain when I say this. How you and your mate render due benevolence is your business. You know, you gotta know what each other want, you gotta know what each other desire. Right. And you gotta be careful not to leave the other person lacking or wanting, because what will happen is, and it talks about it in the Bible, when you leave one person wanting, or you leave an open door for the enemy. You give an occasion to sin. So right. what you want to make sure that you do is, because some people love self, you know, they get excited. Give me all that I've been waiting on for years, but don't even think about what about the other person? What do I do to make sure that my mate is totally fulfilled? You know,
right.
See so many movies where the wife steps out on the husband steps out on the wife. The wife is so busy bickering and saying crazy things to him that he veers off. And she, the same way with her, he is so busy. I'm working, I'm making money, I'm providing for the house, I'm this, that, and the other. But you're forgetting about her heart. You're forgetting about her needs physically, emotionally. For fulfillment. Right. So it's like, how do you restore that? First of all, it takes a conversation. Now sometimes you can get a mediator if y'all ain't good at talking with each other. Let's just be real. Cause you mad and frustrated, she mad and frustrated. So when y'all come together and try to talk that thing out, somebody not gonna get to say everything they wanna say, and somebody gonna, you know, say the wrong thing. Right. And it's gonna be interpreted crazy. So what you have to do is you have to get a mediator for that type of situation.
Right.
But I found a lot of times, you know, we don't be vocal on the things that we need in that relationship. That's why I say it. Sometimes you got to take that break. You got to go out of town. You got to get that room with you and your spouse by yourself. You and your mate by yourself. And y'all say, let's find our way back to each other. Sometimes you got to sit there and say, you know, I love your eyes. You know, that's the first thing, you know, that attracted me to. You know, I love your curves. You know, you got to sit back and you got to reconnect.
Sometimes you have to take that time to just put all of the outside factors away, okay. Whether it's the children, whether it's the jobs, whether it's the, you know, the finances, whatever. We're going to take this time out. And even if it's like a day or two, you just take a daycation. Rather than a vacation, you take a daycation and say, look here, today we're doing nothing but sitting around one another, enjoying our house, enjoying ourselves, don't talking about no bills, no nothing. What do you want? You know, what is your desire for the day? What do you want to eat? What do you want to watch? What do you, you know, whatever it is, you just have to back away from life and refocus and reconnect to one another.
Yeah.
And that, like I said, that could be as simple as just a day that you just forget about everything. Whatever was happening the day before,
exactly.
You forget about it. And we're going to take today off and say, baby, look here. It's me and you today. And that's it. And during those 24 hours, you concentrate on nothing but each other.
Each other. That's
and
right.
Making sure
that's
you
right.
meet each other's needs. You learn if there's something that has been a gap that has been formed somewhere. You try to mend that gap, try to put that gap back together. You talk about that. You sit down and discuss different things with each other.
And it got to be as bold as to say, baby, when you did this, it made me feel like this.
Exactly.
And then the other person, like if I say it to James, James needs to repeat that back to me the way I said it. You
right,
know?
Right.
So that
so
I'll
that
know,
you know I
gotta
understand
that you
got to
understand
what,
it, what
exactly.
I said. Because sometimes when you say something to your mate, if your mate is mad,
they hear it
out of a different place,
exactly,
and that causes more damage. You know,
again,
you ever been in a relationship or in a conversation with somebody, and
right.
you say, "I love you." When I went out and did this right here, got drunk or whatever, and came home and said that crazy stuff to you, you know, that's how I was feeling at the time, but I was drunk at the time, and then this is what they heard.
What?
You were feeling like talking crazy to me.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? They didn't hear none of that. I'm sorry. I love you. Because they are so up here in their mind. They way up here.
Yeah, they already on a different
yeah.
tangent.
Yeah, so that's why I say sometimes you need a mediator.
Right.
You need somebody to translate. You need somebody that's on the outside that'll hear what you said. And convey it to the other person.
Right.
And then you'll say, so what did you hear? And they'll tell you what they heard.
Right, exactly.
But rekindling is not just about, it's not just about sex, because we think it's a sexual connection.
Right.
It's not. A woman wants to feel as though she's the most important, the only one, and not just the only one as far as other females, but the most important when it comes to anybody else.
Right. Because let me tell y'all fellas something. I'm going to just say it from the fellow. I will often stop my wife and tell her, hey, look here, let me tell you something. You're the best thing I got, period, ever, that I ever had. You're the best thing I got or ever had. And you ought to see the little smile that come on her face. Sometimes she'll be so mad she can't really smile big, but she'll kind of smirk. But, you know, sometimes you have to just reconfirm, you know what they call it, is that a word, reconfirm?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
reconfirm.
Good. That's good.
Okay, reconfirm a person's position in your life, because sometimes, fellas, we can get so caught up with day-to-day going to work, taking care of the car, taking care of the kids, making sure we got money, we're checking the bank accounts, we're doing so much in the household that we will forget that woman has needs that are outside your financial capabilities, outside of your whatever, your just that she has a need to feel like the woman in your life.
Now I'm gonna give y'all just a little hint on something. When a woman starts feeling neglected,
yeah.
Now you want her to stay that same woman she was when you met her.
Oh, she's
oh,
not
just
gonna.
Oh, just move heaven and earth for you. Oh, just, you know, treat you like the king. And then over the years, you wonder why she stopped doing that. That's when you know that there's an imbalance. Maybe you are sucking up all the air in the room. You know what I'm saying?
Look,
everything is about you. And you have forgot to put back in
right.
to what that person gave right. out to you. Because a lot of times, when a woman changes her attitude towards you, she may have been cooking, cleaning, folding your clothes, bringing you your plate. But watch this. You probably didn't even think about how you were talking to her, how you were treating her. And then over the years, she stopped doing all of that. She hardly wants you to touch her. She hardly wants you to be around her. She can't wait to get to another space that you are not in. She in her car. She never at home. I'm going to tell you what happens. Sometimes we be so busy receiving all that favor and talking to that person crazy till that person decides, okay, you know what? I'm gonna just keep all of my good stuff to myself.
Well,
while you are, because a woman wants you to notice and wants you to appreciate.
Well, the thing about it is that's any human being. Let's just be honest with ourselves. When you are feeling unappreciated or unfulfilled, you start withdrawing. You know, and that's the worst thing I tell anybody. That's the worst thing you want your wife or significant other to feel is unappreciated.
Unappreciated.
Because I tell men this, the Bible talks about it too, that anything that you give a woman, she multiplies.
She
because they call a woman the mother, just like they call Earth Mother Earth. Mm-hmm. Mother Earth, if you put a seed in the ground, mm-hmm, in Mother Earth, she multiplies. It turns into a big old giant plant, a tree with apples on it, everything from a seed.
But you got to give her something to work with.
But you
with.
Got to, not only that, you got to give her the seed, then you got to come back and nurture that ground and pay attention to it.
That's true. Now, you I'm a woman, so I'm going to tell you, you got to give a woman something to work with.
Right.
At nurturing and all, that's going to come. But if you don't show up with something for her to work with, I'm just being real.
Right. Exactly.
If she get up, I heard a man say, this older woman, she was saying how her husband don't appreciate her. He worked the railroad, and she was a housewife. Right. So the house is immaculate, right? The kitchen clean, because she loved being a housewife. He come home, and over the years, he got in such a routine of his house being clean,
right,
to when she started crying about it, she started saying, I just want you to appreciate
yeah,
me.
Show some appreciation.
He said, why should I appreciate you for something you're supposed to do? Now,
he didn't say that.
Yes, he did.
Not, girl,
yes,
he
did.
You lying on this,
yes,
man.
He did.
You got to be. This man cannot. And how old was he?
No, he was up in his 40s, 50s. Late, 40s.
And he had made it that old, and that was
that's
that
what
crazy.
He said. That's what he said to him.
Look, he's a modern miracle.
So I'm sitting there as the mediator. So when he said
that,
this is what I asked her. I said, what did you hear him say? She said, I heard him say that I married him to take care of him, and I don't matter.
Right.
I said, dang. And he said, that's not what I said. And then I said, okay, tell her again
what you were trying to say.
What you said.
Yeah, relate to her what you were trying to say.
He was saying, he said, I said, I make the money.
Right.
We made a deal, you know.
Right.
And now she didn't say it like it did. She said, baby, I want to stay home. He was like, okay. In his head, we made a deal.
Right.
That
right,
if
right.
you stay home and take care of the house, and
right.
I go out and work. And so she said,
well,
I'm not supposed to appreciate you going out working and taking care of us. He said, yeah, I hope you do appreciate it. She said, so you can't appreciate me making sure that your
house
is taken.
Yeah.
And so it's like I say, when you're in a conversation, sometimes you have to get a mediator. You have to get somebody that'll help y'all talk to one another.
Right.
And you see, get what I'm saying?
Right. And see what you just relayed on this broadcast is what I'll be talking about when I say that no matter what, no matter how long you've been together, no matter what the situation is, there is nothing. Communication is nothing without a ultimate understanding.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? You have to come to a ultimate understanding and agree. Agreements come from understanding. You know, if I say, like if he had said, look here, she said, well, I want to stay home. If he had sat down with her at that time and said, well, look here, you can stay home and I'm going to go out and make all the money long as you stay home and take care of the house and have it, you know,
and
in order.
Said.
But see, She didn't know that. She didn't think about that. When she said, I want to stay home, he said, okay, cool.
No, that's not what her problem was. She loved right, her. Right, I understand. Her issue was he showed no appreciation.
Exactly. But and see, the thing was, he didn't feel like he had to show appreciation, though. Because he thought they had an agreement.
Yeah, that's the point.
Right.
It was more on agreement. She was right. She wasn't even talking about that agreement. Exactly. She was talking about the emotional connection she wanted with her boo.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? So a lot of times in relationships, that's why I'm talking about that.
Right.
About rekindling things. We sometimes mash everything together and we say, well, I'm a provider, I do this, so I'm good.
Right.
But you done forgot about her emotional and physical needs, you know.
Right.
If your wife or your husband is one that love a lot of sex, you don't like a lot of sex. Listen, before y'all get married, y'all should discuss that. If you cannot fulfill what that person wants, you shouldn't have married that person. That's unfair to that person.
Right.
I was just gonna say
that's unfair to that person.
Yeah. So that's why I say it's hard. In relationship, you have to communicate. You want to rekindle a flame and it just ain't about flicking the beak?
Flick your beak.
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever. Don't sound right, but okay. It ain't about that. Sometimes you need to sit down and work on the problem. You can't put a band-aid on everything. Really, anyway, rekindle the flame. Leave the house. Get away from everybody. Exactly. Find your way back to each other. You know, remember what you loved about that person. You know, and sometimes, let's be real, sometimes the person can let themselves go.
But you know what?
Because they feel like, I'm in love. I got him. Who cares? I'm going to let myself go. I just don't care how my hair look. I don't care what I got on. I'm going to the store with ass your ankles. Yes, I need some.
But you know, that comes also from
depression.
Depression is the ultimate. But what I was going to say is that comes from a lack of attention being paid to that person or feeling that they're appreciated. See, I let my wife know that I love the way she looks. Let me tell you something about my wife. She got her own room. In the house, there's nothing in that room but her stuff.
I'll talk about
that. There's nothing of mine in that room. If it is, I don't know because I don't go in there because it shouldn't be in there. And if it is, it's lost forever. But let's get back to her room. She has her own room that she gets up in the morning.
I need a bigger room.
Anyway, she goes in the bathroom. She takes care of washing her face, brushing her teeth, and things of that nature. Then she go in her room. When she go in a room, I don't know who coming out of there. Her makeup is in there, her hair, her wig, her clothes, all her clothes in there, all her outfits. Because some of them are clothes, some of them are outfits, let's just be honest. But anyway, so I never know who's going to come out of there. But whoever comes out of there, I let my wife know that I appreciate the time that you took to make your make yourself into this person that you are presenting. And I love every facet of my wife. I don't know if that little yellow head woman coming out of there. I don't know if the woman coming out of there with a Patti LaBelle wig on, with a little cherry wig on, with a head towel on like she got on this morning, or who's coming out of there. But whoever it is, I appreciate the time it took you to make yourself up and you look good that way. And this is who I'm with. So what I'm trying to say is I don't have five different women. I got one woman that can be five different women. You see what I'm saying? And I'm cool with that. We're not talking about the flame no more. That's your flame. I'm talking about understand. Me and my wife, when we got together, my wife said, well, look, I like to wear my hair short. And I sometimes cut my hair, I wear my hair different, I wear wigs. I said, baby, let me tell you one thing about life and me. I am never gonna ask you for no hair. So I don't care which way you wear it. The way you wear it is the way you wear it. I love all of them. Long as it's not crooked or on the side of your ear covered, you know, long as you got it on the way it's supposed to be worn, I'm cool with it. You wear whatever you want. Matter of fact, I go wig shopping with her a few times. I have done it. Yes, I have. Because, I want you to feel as comfortable as you feel being who you are. I'm not trying to change you. She was that way before I met her, and she's still that way. And I encourage her to be the way she feels comfortable being. Because if I tell people this all the time, if you got to be somebody other than who you are to be with a certain person, that's not the person for you. Because you're not going to be happy because you have to keep putting on the act. You have to be this type of person for this person to accept you and to want to be with you and to show interest in you. If you can't accept me for all of my own crazy, then there's no sense in us being together. My wife,
we have a question.
Accepts my crazy. Yeah,
I accept his crazy and his long-windedness and his extra topics. Let's look at what John had to say.
Okay.
What if a person who had prostate cancer and can't satisfy his mate, and then they say, "Why should I suffer because you are?" That was said to me by my wife. Self-esteem shot after that.
Now that
I'm gonna just straight up say this.
Yeah.
First of all, I get rough with it.
Go ahead.
Through sickness and health. Okay.
Better or for worse.
Just like I told my husband, I say, you in this thing.
No, she told me I was stuck, and I say, ain't no such thing as being stuck when you're right where you want to be.
So Brother Webster. First of all, I want to say I'm sorry you had to go through that.
Right.
That was just not the right person. Okay. That was just not the right person. And everybody was raised different. I was raised by a mama that taught you, that's your husband, you got to stick with them through thick and thin, okay? Now, it had some mishaps, but I know, you know, that whole little, I didn't sign on for this, and I ain't got to suffer because you suffer, and all that, that just wasn't the right person. You got to chalk that person on up to Jesus, and you got to pray and say, Lord, send me who you created for me, because God created somebody for you.
Right.
God created somebody that's going to love you, that's going to cherish you, that you get what I'm saying? Something happened to this man, I'm right there. He know it. He know I ain't going nowhere. I'm up in the doctor's office saying, now what you giving him that for? I'm in the hospital room saying, what you in here for? I am that person. You have to make sure that you attach yourself to your person. You see what I'm saying? That person right there, don't be mad at them, just saying they weren't cut out for this.
Right.
That's their flaw. That's not your flaw. That's their flaw. You know.
Can I
go ahead.
Say something? Can I be candid with these people on TV?
Not close.
No, I'm not.
Okay,
not close,
yeah.
But can I be candid?
Go ahead.
And tell your business and my business.
What business?
Okay, let me explain something to John. Because John is family, really.
Yeah, that's
John is my cousin by marriage.
Yeah.
So John, let me tell you something, brother. I'm going to just put it the best way I can say it is, that wasn't your wife. Put it like
Amen.
That. I'm just going
to
say that wasn't your wife. That was a woman that you had been with. See, because let me tell you something about that situation like that. I am a man, and we know that through old age and articulation, things don't work like they used to, and things don't happen like they used to. But when y'all grow together. And a real woman or a real wife will understand that. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna just say it as easy. And your mouth wasn't broke. You know, that's all I can say. I mean, and I'm gonna say it like that. Your mouth wasn't broke. So
in other words, there's other ways
to fulfill her need. Now, another thing is they got all kind of sex shops all over the internet.
Can I say something?
All on the car. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Y'all know where you're going, but I want to say this. I want to say this real quick. Some people look for a way out of a relationship.
Exactly.
They look for an excuse. They waiting on the door to open. And when the door open, they hit it. So so I want you to understand.
Can I hold my hand up, say something?
Yeah, just a minute.
Okay.
When a person can leave so easily during one of the hardest times in your life.
They never was all in.
They were already ready to go. Their bags were already packed.
Okay, let me say something. I want to talk about this because I am a 51-year-old man and I'm getting up in age, and I know that I look, as they say, you can't rooster like you used to. So my wife will maybe mad with me, but I'm gonna tell it anyway. I may have been the first man to ever buy her a vibrator. And I gave it to her as a gift.
Oh God.
Let me just, you know, I'm just being honest. There is no reason for me to feel less than because of that. And she didn't make me feel that way because she is my wife.
Amen. But the John, thing is, boys now, baby.
But the thing is, right. The thing is, you have to understand, and not only that, we, you know, I'm not gonna get too much into it, but you know, we still have fun together. We still enjoy each other. And I still try to fulfill her needs as often as she needs me to. But there is a has to be, like I said again, there has to be an understanding and a want to in your relationship. You want to service and please each other. And no matter what facet it is, whether it's in the bedroom, whether it's in the living room, whether it's in the kitchen, whether it's in the bathroom, wherever. You want to, like, and she likes to eat certain things, you cook it. You make sure she gets that. You, and she likes to bathe in a tub. You make sure the tub is there and the bubble bath that she likes is on. You know, but there's just certain things that you have to do
For your
relationship. For your relationship.
It ain't nobody's business
right.
What goes on in your relationship.
Right, because they all are unique.
But what we're telling you today is, get with somebody that loves you, period. That loves everything about you.
Right.
Because I would hate to find out if I lose my vision that my husband gonna have my hair jacked up. You get what I'm saying? I'm gonna be running around, you know what I'm saying? Wig twisted to the side, all that kind of stuff.
No.
I'm just saying. But let me help you with something, because I know husband says some stuff they're gonna say, Pastor. But let me help you with something. The Bible says the bed is undefiled. The right. Marriage bed is undefiled.
Exactly.
And when husband and wife are together, that's husband and wife business. Whatever they do in that room. Now, I ain't saying invite somebody in there. Don't get
right.
yourself
that's,
in
that's,
trouble
that's,
with the Lord.
That's what
I'm saying
defiled.
That y'all have to do what render unto each other, do benevolence, like the word of God says. Whatever you do in that bedroom is your business.
Right.
Okay, I'm just saying. I just want to give you that, because some folks don't understand.
She's trying to clean up my mess, y'all.
Now,
made a mess.
John said, got serious trust issues behind that. Well, John, that's why I say you need to invite, we need to go through some counseling for that, so that you can heal. That's brokenness. That's somebody you let into your heart, went in there,
yeah.
And just got the messing with stuff.
Right.
And so God has to do a work, begin to heal and mend those places that person broke in your life. And it's okay to be right there, but it's even better to say,
to
okay, I need some help
with
trust. Now we have a comment from, we have a comment right here that says, that's what I'm talking about. Keep it real. Hey, I'm going to tell y'all something about this preacher right here. All I do is keep it real. And as you can see, me and my husband do, because we seem to forget the importance of Black family and Black relationships. We never give each other the tools to stay together, you know? And we always look for somebody else to give us permission for this and permission for that. We can read now.
Right.
And I'm just saying, what do you want to stay together? The Bible said that the husband's desires would be to the world because he desires to please his wife. And it said that the wife's desires would be to her husband. You get what I'm saying? So what does it say? Two jerseys?
No.
It's two jerseys.
Period.
It's two jerseys. You got to get people out your relationship, get your mama, your daddy out your relationship,
yeah,
your best friend, your homegirl, your homeboy. If I was you,
serve
get all of them,
them
they and those and people out your relationship.
Right.
And y'all sit down together in private and say, this right here will work. This right here accomplishes.
Works for me.
This
works
for me.
Don't work for
I
me.
Need it on this day.
Right.
You know, you and somebody put earlier, you got to learn each other's love language. That's important.
Exactly.
You got to know each other's love language.
Right.
It's no certain prescription for everybody. this right. couple is this, this couple is that, that couple is that. What we're saying today, have enough courage, love each other enough, be free, be such a good friend to each other that you'll be honest.
Right. And that comes through thoughtfulness and caring for one another.
Yeah.
That you will have the uncomfortable but needed relationship talks.
Yes.
You know, you'll bring up the important parts of your life. Let your husband or your wife know what's important to you in your life.
In your life. Oh,
and make sure that they make a commitment to helping you meet that.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. My wife loves, she is creative as all outdoors. Let me tell you something. She will make somebody anything. So I have to, me loving her, I have to nurture her creativity, giving her a space, giving her her space where she can create, giving her the tools that can, you know, making sure she gets whatever tools she needs. My wife has skill saws. My wife has
jigsaw.
My wife has paint. She has sanders. She has all the stuff that wives otherwise may not even care about.
You say something right there.
But that's important to her. So I make sure she gets it.
Now, and I'm going to tell you what it did for me for him to do that. For him to just be that person that don't put up roadblocks to things that I love to do.
Right.
In my life at this time, I'm the best me I have ever been in my life. Why? Because I married someone that didn't come in and begin to take away a block or nothing like that, but say, oh, so you want to cut letters out of wood? Okay, here's a jigsaw. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, right.
Oh, you want to paint? Here's canvases. Not saying I couldn't go buy them myself, but let's be real. Sometimes we in relationships with folk that if God tell you to do something or you get ready to make a move, they're going to try to hinder it.
Right, right. So because it's not their vision.
But you have to be vocal. I tell, and he'll tell me however he say it, if he feel like he's getting, you know, restrained, he'll tell me. He'll say, hey, I want to do this like this. This is how it's going down. This is how it needs to go down. And I know his language. That says to me, baby, this is who I am. You get what I'm saying?
Right, right.
I need for this to go this way. I don't want him unhappy with me. I don't want him testifying that, oh, I was in a horrible relationship. No. And then when I have an issue with something he did, because my husband likes to take care of me. He likes to make, if I say something broke, he's going to fix it. He's going to go out and get three or four things that'll get it fixed. Do you understand? But sometimes I have to tell him, hey, I want to do that myself. I move out the way. Let me get it. I have to tell him, you know, I told him I never want to feel like I'm in a relationship that I can't say what I need to say. That's right, not, right. A healthy
That's relationship. Not a healthy relationship. Exactly.
How can you learn to love one another right if you can't talk to the person you with?
And that person not willing to listen.
Yeah,
to
they
you.
Shooting down everything.
Right,
you
they're
say.
Not willing to listen.
Oh, get on with that. Oh, yeah. Move aside. Oh, I ain't trying to hit it. I'm trying to do something else. Boom, I see it right there. We're not going. Yeah, we're not going the same direction.
Exactly.
That's why I always tell people, before you get married, make sure that you're going the same direction. And you want a man that can lead, but make sure he's a leader.
Right.
Then, not only that he's a leader, but where is he leading you to?
Right. Is he leading with a purpose?
With a purpose.
With a positive purpose. Let's say, like, because some people lead you into off the other side of that damn cliff.
Come on.
So you want somebody who's leading you in a positive direction in your life.
You better speak.
That somebody who has their own purpose. Not only that, do they have their own purpose, but they grounded and rooted in the Word.
Yeah.
You know, because there is no, like I said, you can't have a Christian and a crackhead together. That's not equally yoked. You know what I'm saying? That those two people would never have a fruitful and prosperous relationship. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be a constant struggle. So you got to have somebody who's like-minded, mm-hmm. somebody who's spiritually grounded in the same things that you are mm-hmm. for that relationship to work mm-hmm. and for it to stay in order. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I love about my wife is when we first met, and I'm talking about first met, she told me, well, I'm a pastor. Do you have a problem with that? I said, no, ma'am. You know what? She saw it as, because of her previous relationship, she saw it as sometimes somewhat of a hindrance. But I saw it as a positive. Because let me tell you what I know about Jesus Christ in the Bible. A person who is rooted in Jesus Christ, or a woman or man who is rooted in Jesus Christ, looks at relationships and marriage the same way the Bible ordains it to be.
That's right.
There is the a hierarchy,
yeah,
in a marriage.
And a foundation.
And a foundation at the bottom that holds that entire hierarchy up.
Come on.
So I knew that if she is a woman of God, and I believe in God, that God is going to be first in our relationship at the highest point.
Tell them about our first date. Tell them about our first date, because I need people to understand. I know y'all, it's a lot of razzle-dazzle going on. Let me go ahead and tell them, where did we go on our first date?
To Chad's.
We went
to my, let me tell you something about me. I am one of them cats who love to play dominoes,
yeah.
I love to talk noise, have fun, kick it. So, me and her get ready to go out. She said, where are we going? We're going to Chad's. Chad's was a sports bar, a hole in the wall, club, whatever you want to call it.
Well, it was.
Yeah, it's nicer now, but back then it was just a roll door, little hole in the wall, basically.
Now, let me talk on.
Right.
Now, the reason I wanted him to tell y'all that is because my dad played dominoes and all that kind of stuff, so I was excited. I didn't think about where I was going. I was thinking about the fact that I was with my husband, you know, and if me walking into a...
I wasn't good, but yeah, I was just your man. I was just your man.
Well, I knew something. How about
that? Yeah, she had foresight, as they say.
So I knew I wanted to be where he was.
Right.
Okay. So I also know that my God is too powerful to let me walk into a bar, a club, or whatever, sports bar, and backslide.
Come exactly.
On. So I joined him where he was.
Right. So let me tell you how I knew this was my wife. At the time, she was my girlfriend, but I knew that I wasn't going to let her go nowhere. That woman sat there that entire night.
Oh, my God.
Watched me talk noise, play domino game.
How many games?
Probably 12, 14 games.
Listen, I was...
But she sat there, and we played dominoes and laughed. And she sat there with her... I made sure, you know, I would go over there and check on her, make sure she had a Sprite soda or a bottle of water, and was watching, you know, she watched sports.
I was watching the game.
She was watching the game, enjoying it, kicking it with everybody, having a good time, laugh. I saw the smile on her face. She never once said, I'm ready to go. I got it.
We got to get me up out of this mess.
Yeah, she never said that. So I was like, okay, well, cool, man. She wasn't tripping. We went and ate afterwards. We went out to eat and chill. And then we went home and went to bed. So the next morning she got up. That was a Saturday night. She got up the next morning, Sunday. I got to get out of here. I got to this and that. I said, well, where you going? Well, I'm finna go to church. I said, well, I'm going too. She looked at me like, what? I said, I'm going to church. If you went with me last night, I'm going with you today. Well, I go to church with my mom and them. Let's go. I don't care. Let me get my clothes together. So I got ready and went to church with her and her mother and sat there and enjoyed my church service and everything. And after that, there was not a day that we weren't together
that
no
we
more.
Ain't
that crazy?
Man.
There was not a day that we weren't together no
real,
more.
But
it's just the fact that we were willing to share our lives with each other. We were looking for people who were not going to try to hinder us from being exactly who we were, and you know, it was just meant to be.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say about it.
You know what? When I got involved with him, the first thing I told him is say, I'm looking for somebody that I could grow old with and sit on the porch and swat fly.
That's what she said.
Well, I'm from the country. You don't understand. We had porches in the country. And all I could envision was me and my husband sitting on that porch, old and you know, talk about folk, but let's move on. But I had to be vocal about what I wanted out of this relationship. I had been through too much. I lost a husband, you know. So I needed something stable.
Can I
and
tell
he
about,
had
Go ahead.
And I had to be vocal with him about it. Let me read this comment first.
Go ahead.
It says, my wife's family is in Jesus fully. And being around her family made me want to get closer to Jesus and to go towards my destiny. And I thank her and her godly family for that.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. See, let me tell you something about, and I like the comment because that is what happened with me.
Yeah.
I don't go to Chaz no more.
Oh, yeah.
If I want to play dominoes, I go to my partner them house or something.
Or in the backyard.
Or in the backyard at my dining room table, whatever. But the thing was, God had a purpose for my life, and he knew what I needed at the time that she came in. Mm-hmm. And I just thank God for the discernment enough and the wisdom enough to recognize his blessing when he sent it to me. Because if she had been a weaker woman in God, I may have rubbed off on her.
My God.
And who knows what our life would have been together. You know, and she might have been beat me to the club. You know what I'm saying? If she had been weaker than Christ.
He had to look for me.
Right, I had to be looking for her. You know, and so many times we get into situations with people like that, and that's what ends up happening. But thank God for the blessing of her coming into my life and leading me closer to Christ.
Now, can I talk about you?
Yeah. Hold up. Let me. I got one more thing to say. My wife asked me a question, y'all, that a lot of men may look at was crazy. When we got together and I started talking about, you know, us being together for real, she said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, yeah. She said, can you buy tissue? I said, can I buy tissue? And I had to think about, what is this woman talking about? Can I buy? Yeah, and what she meant was, at the time I met my wife, was a mother of four kids. They were older kids, but they were four kids that she had pretty much raised on her own. And what she meant by that is, can you buy tissue was, can you provide things for this household help me out? Not only tissue, but dishwashing liquid, anything that's needed in this house, can you help provide it?
Yeah.
And my answer was a simple answer. I came into your life to make your life easy, plain and simple, period. And I always tell guys this, whatever you tell that woman, the sexiest thing you can do is be whatever you tell that
woman.
That's the sexiest thing you can be to a woman is whatever. Be exactly what you say you're going to be. And I promise you, she's going to think you sexier than all of them Robert Redfords and whatever. What's that boy name? Michael B. Jordan, sexiest man alive. That's who you're going to be. You're going to be on the cover of her life instead of on the cover of a magazine. So I took that as a simple, can you provide for this household? And I came up in a household where my father, whether he was doing it or not, or my mama was doing it, she made it look like daddy was doing it because that's the kind of woman she was. But my father was a provider, and he took pride in providing for his kids, his wife, his daughters. And I saw that and how much I wanted to emulate that in life. And you gave me that opportunity to do that.
Amen.
And I said, well, thank you, Lord.
Well, let me say this.
And step right on
in.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I was just going to talk about what you brought to my life.
Right.
I came up in a household with a mother and father and the stability that was in that household.
Uh-huh.
And I don't care what anybody says, a woman don't look to be in a relationship with her daddy. She looks to be in a relationship with a man like her father.
Right.
Why? Not in the instance that she's in love with her dad, but just the dad is the first guy
that she falls that in love she, with.
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Her dad. Her dad provides. Her dad loves her and on her birthday you get what I'm saying? I was raised by a man that showed me what a real man was.
Right.
So when I met James and James just came right on in and started doing the things that a man, I didn't have to tell him nothing. Baby, I said, I got to hold on to this one. I say, Jesus, give me the script. Because he wasn't just grown. He was a grown man. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I had to say, okay,
and I
wasn't
easy to deal with. I must admit, I had some things that were challenging. And I still have them flat up here and there, but she has no problem getting the broom and beating them back down. Put that little, hey, look here, we're not going to go with that little evil spirit right there. Beat that down.
But look, I have to repent and ask women, you have to choose a man you can respect. Don't marry a man you have no respect for. Don't marry a man you can run over and all that kind of stuff. Because you're going to resent him later. I'm telling you right now. I was attracted to him because he's a full-grown man.
let me explain something else to the fellas. I mean, I'm going to give them a little nugget before we go. The sexiest thing that a woman looks for in a man, I don't care what nobody say, and it ain't about the size of his waistline or how big his biceps is or nothing. The sexiest thing that a woman looks for in her relationship is security.
Security.
Period. A grown woman, I'm going to add. If she's a grown woman,
can you say
ultimately she wants security? Is she gonna, by trusting you, is she gonna look retarded? Is she gonna look crazy in front of her family and her friends? Is she gonna look crazy? Is she gonna lose face in front of her family and friends? Is she gonna end up homeless? Is she gonna end up walking, catching a bus? Is she gonna end up just out there? Or is she feeling secure?
Yeah.
You know, can she get comfortable and by letting go? A woman wants to let go.
She don't
want to have to carry all them bags and them loads and tote that bell and lift that, you know, out. She don't want that. She want a man that's going to handle that. That's what a real woman wants. And only security can be offered to her and really keep her in love with you. Because through that security, she doesn't want to lose that security, and she knows that she can trust you with her everything.
Now, I want to say this. If you ain't ready, don't get married. If you ain't ready for a serious relationship, don't get in one.
Matter of fact, if you're at our age or 35 or above, if you ain't ready for a serious relationship, leave that damn woman alone, period. Don't even spark nothing in her if you ain't going to get out there and do what you got to do.
I want to read a couple of comments.
Go ahead.
It says, yes, be vocal. This is Kimberly. She said, yes, be vocal. I got something in front of my camera. That's important. Oh, you're right. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Be vocal and know what's important to yourself in order to grow together.
Amen.
Now, that's the truth. Next comment. From Dennis. Hey, Dennis, that's my classmate.
Is it?
Uh-huh.
What's going on, Dennis? How you doing, bro?
True, real talk. I teach my sons the same thing. Good deal. Good,
that's a good deal, Dennis.
Kimberly say, woo, security. Amen.
See, but Dennis, that's a good thing. See, because we as men raising young men and boys to be young men, we need to instill things in them that's going to make them conducive to being a good husband, provider, security guard of the household, whatever, taking care of a family. We need to give them the tools and the attributes that are going to be conducive to them being successful as fathers and husbands and uncles and you know whatnot. We need to get that because so many times we end up being negligent and letting the streets raise our kids and not understanding where did I go wrong. Where you went wrong was not putting the time in.
And
we're
gonna have
not pushing, yeah, not pushing those attributes on your sons. Or in my case, I have one son and I have nephews that I try to push those attributes on. But,
so we're gonna have a show about that.
Right.
And if you wanna be a part of that show, just inbox me. And we will put you on this video
with us. You'll be
on the screen. We got one more comment from my best cousin. Loving you. We need to have a discussion on why it's hard for a black man to tell his spouse what he's going through. And then he said, just let me know when. We're going to do it.
Cool. I got you. No problem, John. I'll get in touch with you, brother. And we will sit down and that is a, you know what, John? I'm gonna just say that I'm gonna invite John on JD's Man Cave on Saturday, so we can sit and discuss that, because that is a good topic for the Man Cave, John. And
it's a good topic for midday talking.
Right. But I'm gonna talk to you. We'll get together. I'll holler at you later on tonight. I think that's gonna be good
if we to have a midday talk with the Daniels. We'll have John on there and then I'll invite. Okay, we'll do that. We'll do midday talk. We're gonna get in touch with you because we're gonna have you on the next midday talk. All right, close it out for us, honey.
Right. All right, well, once again, this has been Midday Talk with the Daniels, and as you can see, we are a animated team at the best, but we enjoy one another and we enjoy life, and we sit back and relax and enjoy the fruits of our labor.
And before we get off, remember, it's only two jerseys
on that team.
We love you. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.